Two vascular surgeons walk into a bar and come out with a podcast. We are talking everything vascular and not. Welcome to the Life of Flow podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Life of Flow
podcast.
Episode 1 million.
1.2 million.
I can't do it as well as you do it. And today we're going to talk to Janice Fuentes. She's the founder and managing partner of Fuentes Strategies, which is a boutique government relations firm. And she's also the founder and CEO of Boricua Activated, which is an organization that promotes issues important to the Puerto Rican community. But we're going to talk more generally about how to get involved in causes that interest us and how to be effective in those causes. And other topics, we talk a little bit about how we met at Burning Man, which was an interesting story. Hope you guys enjoy. Vamos.
The following podcast is not relating to my teachings and work at Del Cid Medical Center and is for entertainment purposes only.
All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Life of Flow podcast. And today we are very lucky to have a new friend, which I met recently. It was kind of a very interesting way we met, which we'll get into a little bit. Janice Fuentes. And how about we just talk about like how we met, give the PG-13 version of that.
It was pretty PG-13. Well, welcome. Thank you. Welcome you.
Yeah, welcome. Yeah.
Thank you. That's what I really meant to say. Thank you for having me in the Life of Flow. Love being here. Wish I was in Austin. How we met? Well, for the uninitiados, we met at Burning
Uninitiated.
Man.
Yeah, uninitiated. We met at Burning Man.
My first burn.
My first burn, too.
What is that like an inner thing? Like uninitiated are us poor souls that have not been enlightened by the activity?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
You're not in the club.
No, you're not in the cool kids club.
Right. I'm an uninitiated then.
Yeah.
All right.
And we started talking and it was super interesting. Why don't you give us a little bit about your background?
Absolutely. I'm from Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. I came here like a lot of people from Puerto Rico to, you know, to go to get an education. One thing that many people don't realize in Puerto Rico, it's how lucky we are, regardless of how you feel about the politics, to have an American passport, which allows you to live anywhere. So in the United States. So I took advantage of that. I came early, at 17, and I stayed. And after grad school, I went to work in Congress, and it felt like I never left Puerto Rico, Lucas, because I've always have worked for a Puerto Rican boss. Oh, so my 25 years in Congress was always the two resident commissioners. And then my third and last boss in Congress was Congressman Luis Gutierrez, who is from Chicago, but Puerto Rican. So we represented the 4th Congressional District of Illinois, but he was also Puerto Rican. So my entire congressional career was working Puerto Ricans and promoting Puerto Rican interests. When I retired about 10 years ago now, because you can do that in Congress, you can actually retire depending on how many years you served. I opened my own firm, Fuentes Strategies, and was loving my fun life of just advising clients. I'm a democratic strategist. And so I inform my clients on the strategy to get to where they need to be. If they're trying to impact policy, or they believe very strongly on any one issue that the government, you know, regulates, I help with that. And then in 2017, we all know what happened, which is Maria destroyed Puerto Rico. We had as many people who have died as a consequence of everything that happened with a hurricane of that category as died in 9/11. So for us, as all of us know, who are Puerto Rican and our friends, it was a monumental shift in terms of where what the island would be facing. And I, of my 25 years in Congress and in the business that I'm in, I could not just do nothing, right? Just to use the double negative. So I opened Boricua Activated to empower Boricua communities here in the States, in the mainland, because I am absolutely convinced that if you use that muscle, that political power that a lot of the Puerto Rican communities could deploy for anything, you know, an issue, healthcare, status, whatever you care about. There's a power that the communities don't use, and that's a power of advocacy and how to you know, use your voice to talk to elected officials and try to impact policies, most importantly, and bring change to your community. And that's what led me to create Boricua Activated, which we have a C3, which educates people from coast to coast. Then we also have a C4, which deals more with advocacy of issues. And lately, you know, we've been very busy advocating because it's an election year. But yeah, that's basically me in a long, big nutshell.
So yeah, I thought it would be like the way I think that this could cross-pollinate is because a lot of us as vascular surgeons are very passionate about limb salvage. And there's some like there's some topics around it, like the access to vascular specialists and people that mm-hmm. are facing like a major amputation, which could be something that we could rally around. And I just thought, you know, I've heard people talk about this. And when we met, I was like, okay, this is interesting. Maybe you would have some insight into if there's someone really passionate about driving some of these topics and involving government, how would they go about and do it if they have no idea? So I thought that you'd be amazing to talk about that.
I guess a frame set would be if I'm very passionate about something, but I'm politically ignorant, but we all know money and politics drives a big change. How do we take our potential dream or a potential fight and create enough rumbles and organize enough around something that we could actually go to the Hill and exert change? Like, I guess that would be a way. And so you have a few political illiterates mm-hmm. that come to you and say, Janice, you have been now elected as our representative to guide us through the process of political engagement, political torque, political leverage. How should we go about this? You know, what can we do? What are steps that we could do? Because I know of some of us that are involved. Some people are running PACs. Some people are, you know, I've talked to a couple of people in my community that are cardiovascular physicians and surgeons that have asked for donations and stuff like that. But I really don't know how to structure this. And I think if we could focus for an hour on what political structure can some civilians do in order to exert some change, I think we would learn a lot and would be very inspired by you.
Oh, thank you. That's Bombito al pitcher. That's all easy. Thank you for making it easy. You know, everybody and anybody, regardless of, you know, as we say at Boricua Activated, everybody except the baby, the recently born and the recently departed can do this. So the only thing you really need to do this is that passion. You know, you have to feel strongly enough about what is it that you want to defend. And then it's everything you mentioned, all the things, the money helps, the passion helps, the organizing helps. But the only thread that connects all of that, it's not only do you do diligence, but it's the consistency. You know, it's the drumbeat. It's like you have to think of yourself as going to a fight, going to war, right? If it's something that is unfair, that is affecting your community, you don't randomly just say, well, I'm going to give you $5 and hope this changes. Or, yeah, I'm going to go to that rally and I'm going to bring my flag. And I said, yeah, down with the system, up with healthcare. No. The only thing that brings change is the consistency in the demand. And I think that what a lot of people forget is the structure, at least the one we still have, of a democracy and how it helps to understand the all-important relationship that you both have, all three of us have, with our elected officials, right? And what they're supposed to be doing for you. So if you demystify and totally comprehend how that works, then you can empower yourself with going to those who have the power and doing your ask. And I think that a lot of people, voters or no voters, all of us have in common that we're constituents. We all are. You have a councilman, you have a mayor, You have a local and a state elected official, a state senator, you have a congressman, you have a state senator, and you have a president. Yeah, it's supposed to represent all of us, right? So it is those levers that you're not really using if you're not consistently in the fight. So the best thing that you can do to empower yourself is, first of all, understand who represents me and do they believe in what I'm trying to do here to bring parity in healthcare for X, Y, and Z. Who's out there? Is it Dr. Lucas? Is it Dr. Cesar? Okay, so it's them. What do they believe in? Oh, I don't know. Well, we have something called the internet. That's what I call your due diligence. Before you do anything to bring other people into the fold, and my battery is, hold on. I just get a little ad that says that my battery is done. I've got it. We haven't even been long for that. And now it's like dying. It's understanding who represents you and developing that relationship with the elected official.
We're around the corner from a big election, right? I'm not going to make this a political stance, but it's just something to underline how unfortunately true it is that most of us don't know who is out there and representing us. Okay. Yeah. When I remember the last time I saw a few names was the last election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I remember I just went and I voted for one particular party and it was just all through.
Yeah.
I knew three names. I mean, I know who I was voting for president. I know who I was voting for the, governor, I think, and then whatever state, but I had no idea who the hell everybody else on that ballot was.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. I didn't know what they stood for.
Yeah.
I didn't know what clicked them. I didn't know even how to engage them.
Yeah.
And I think that, we stand sometimes here on our mighty horses and we're like, well, people should be better and eat better and do better things and all these things that we do. Yet, are we that passionate? Are we that truly passionate that we understand that the engagement of the mechanics of how the world works has certainly to do with who's representing the constituents? And if that's so, if we're that interested in our patients' lives, have we done our diligence to go and talk to the people that represent us?
Well, the first question is, because I, as Miguel knows, I'm a super cynical person. And my first thought is, if I go there by myself, and I probably think this is true, they at best will like nod their head and just give me a pat on the back and just be like, yeah, sure. But won't care. Absolutely won't care. So what I imagine needs to happen is that you kind of have to understand the structure and the process and then build whatever needs to be built so that you get on their radar. And then somehow activate their interest. And I have just no idea what that is, but I have a hunch that if I just send an email to my congressman, it's just going to go to like a, inbox that nobody's going
to
read.
Before you answer, because I want you to answer this in a more intelligent way, here's what I think.
Yeah.
In my uneducated way is you either have a big pocket and you've put some money down to help them in during re-election enough to the point that they're going to sit and talk to you.
Yeah, but that's not us.
Okay, like, well,
that work for like what I'm a saying. Salary.
So you're either going to do it that way, the good way, or I don't know if it's the bad way. That's our way, which is you're going to grease their pockets enough. You're going to get them into the re-election. They're going to know who you are. You're rich enough that you matter, and so they're going to listen to you. Or the full opposite, and I hope that Janice is going to say that there's another third way. The whole opposite, which is you become a pebble in their shoe. You are going to be so annoying. You're going to be in their forefront. You are going to be protesting, emailing, calling, asking, going to any open forums.
Yeah.
And make yourself so noted.
Yeah.
That they say, stop. I'll listen to your, what do you need to say? And let's try to see how it
works. That's probably how it works.
Well, I think those are my two, you're either greasy or you're very, very against it, but maybe hopefully there's a better way. But Janice, you answer that.
It's the pebble. It's the pebble.
We gotta be pebbles. You know what's great about that is us Hispanics, we're great at that.
Yeah.
La piedrita. La piedrita en el zapato. Well,
we're persistent AF. We could get shit done.
It's all politics is local. So I think it's because it takes work. I know because I do this every day. It takes work, but that's where the passion comes in. You need to care enough about it. Your local elected official will care about 2, 3, 4 doctors and their friends coming, knocking on that door. You write about the email. Most of the time, at least in Congress, it goes directly into a box that the intern opens and sends you a nice letter back. So we're not going to do the email. We're going to do the phone call, and we're going to do showing up. And like I say,
but you call and you say, put the congressman on the phone. Is that what you do?
You don't need to. You don't need to know the congressman yet, because what happens is in a well-run office, which true, not every office is well-run, but in a well-run office, whether or not it's local, which I mean councilman, state, which is your state congressman, elected official, which is normally an assemblyman in California or a senator, or your congressman, the staff has to basically tell, okay, so I call and say, hi, I'm Janice Fuentes and I'm a constituent. I like to talk to the person in charge of healthcare. So they have to give you the appointment. You talk to them on the phone, you talk to them in person, say, hey, we're Dr. such and such, we care deeply about this. We'd like to understand with the congressman, the councilman, the mayor's office, what you're doing to solve this problem for our community. And that's the spear of that point in terms of your initial engagement. As I'd like to say to, there's two examples I give to people and you already know them. If you're not at the table, you're going to be on the menu and you're going to be eaten up. And it's over. So you have got to get your place at the table, and you can demand if they never heard from you. So that's why consistency is important. You have to go knock on the door and say, hey, for example, this is an election year. New people, this is a perfect time to start this. So after the election, there'll be new people elected. So this is the perfect opportunity to go introduce yourself as, hi, councilwoman, blah. My name is blah and blah, and we're here to talk about blah. We'd love to hear more about what you, and that's how you start a conversation. You may get the staffer, and quite frankly, as a staffer for 25 years, we do a lot of the work. So as I said to the people who come to our trainings, don't look down because you didn't get the member. No, be happy that you got the staffer, because that staffer wants to impress the boss. And that staffer says, mira, today I met with 2 doctors and they told us this thing. I didn't know this was happening. We don't have a position. We need to get a position. You have got to, it's a relationship. What I tell young people when we go to high schools, it's like, okay, when you're young, you're looking for that girl or boy, you want to be out there, fine. If you find that person that you really like, that you met at whatever math class, or in the break at lunch, and you want to see them, and you say, you know what, do we drink coffee? Let's go to Starbucks. And you bring them to a Starbucks because they say yes. And you never call them for 12 months. What is that person going to think of you? You're the biggest flake that ever existed. The same thing with this. You can't go knock on that door and say, hey, we're 2 doctors here. We came to talk about this. And then not come back until, as you said, the next election. That's a waste of your time, of my time, of the elected officials' time and their staff. You have got to be respectful to the one thing you cannot ever get more of, which is time. So if you're going to be respectful of your time, you have got to use it wisely. You plant that seed, you start that relationship, and then you stay what I said at the beginning, consistent. Now, there's many steps that go between one and the other, granted. But the point is that you have to understand it's a roadmap, and it's also a drumbeat. So every new action has to lead to another outcome. You come the first time and you introduce yourselves and your topic. Is the member going to meet with you? I gotta be honest. Sometimes it depends on your title, right? You come in and you say, we're Dr. such and such, and we lead the department and blah, at university blah, and the hospital blah. Okay, great. You may get a meeting with the council person, but you know who you're going to be in touch with? The staffer. And you have to come in and be prepared. It's what I tell everybody, because I think the protests help. and, you know, raising the fist and yelling, all that helps. But at the end of the day, even in places that are at the extreme of violence, like Gaza, Palestine, Israel, at the, using that extreme, at the end of the day, they're going to have to come to the table and sit down and negotiate. How is this going to look like in the future? So it is trying to guide that conversation through its logical end, which is going to be a conversation where you're going to understand my problem and you're going to understand that as a voter, I matter. There's been elections in Texas that have been won by one or two votes, local elections. So imagine you thinking that your vote does not matter. Of course it matters. So the more local the elected official, the more that phone call and that presence that you bring into the office matter to them. And then you can escalate that. You first have your relationship. And let me backtrack. When you go to that meeting, you come super prepared. You come very, you know, we even train at Boricua Activated, we even train re-entry, right? These are people, gang members who've been in jail and who think that because of their look and because of their life story, and the justice system has failed them mostly, that they don't belong at the table and that they have nothing to say to that elected official. And you know what? I'm glad that the elected officials that we work with, which is everybody that it's representing a district, that show up, because there's nobody with a better story than that person who has paid the price of a failure of the justice system, right? And a lot of those kids that end up as gang members have a terrific story to tell, which is not me speaking for them or you guys speaking for them, but your story matters. And that's why it matters that you come prepared. What is your story? Why do you guys care so much about this or that on healthcare? Why? Did someone die? Did you lose a patient? Do you see the unfairness in communities of colors because they don't get X, Y, or Z? You need the power of your personal story. You don't make it up. You know your personal story. And that's what I mean. My personal story is I hate the way that Puerto Rico gets treated, especially when there is a tragedy. And regardless of what you think of the status of Puerto Rico, you cannot sit here in the mainland comfortably paying taxes and not try to move the needle for Puerto Rico and my entire family who still lives there, right? So that's my passion. I hated to see what happened with Hurricane Maria. I hated the way Donald Trump, and I don't care, you know, what anybody thinks, you can vote any way you want, but there's something called respect. And you do not throw paper towels at people who are dying. So we all have our opinion of people who've been elected. I do have, I'm a Democrat. And I think when I saw everything that was going on regarding Hurricane Maria, the relief, the notion that we're an island covered by water, surrounded by water, so it's hard to get. Of course, it's hard to get stuff to us, but we've known that all along. So the disrespect that we got as an island and its residents is really what fired me up. So the last 7 years of my life, I spent doing this, training people and how to empower themselves. Not necessarily, I can't impose the Puerto Rico concern on anyone, right? We're a C3. That's what motivated me. But I'd like to tap the motivation that everybody has and then make sure that you follow the steps you need to follow to make sure that you get to where you need to be, go, to move that needle. And part of that is the power of your personal story. The reentry program participants, I use them as an example because it is a population that feels very unempowered. They've done time. They have tattoos in the face. They stand out and they feel that they don't belong at the table. And what I'd like to tell them is that more than anybody else, you belong because you already know you lived it. You know what it's like to fall through the cracks, to be an orphan, ended up in the system, ended up as a gang member. And now you want something better. So they have a terrific story. And you know, what's interesting is when we do the event and the elected official comes and meets and sits down with the gang member, because we follow you through the whole process, it is very telling for both. All of a sudden, the gang member is there standing straight. I think I'm ready. And you see it in the body, right? In the way they're talking. And maybe for the 2 hours that we trained them, they were like, esta mujer aquí, this woman's driving me crazy. Tell me what I have to do. And when the elected official comes in, there's a transformation that happens, then now you'll suddenly feel important. that elected official is here at the table. Shoot, my God, I need to, what did she tell me I have to do? And then when you talk to the elected official, and we all have this in video, you can visit our website and see it. He basically is thankful. He or she is thankful. He says, you know, I don't know any gang members. And now I know what this community is going through, and I want to help. But I would not know it if they didn't tell me. So you have got to take that passion and take it with you. You got to be prepared. You got to know what you want to tell the elected official. And then the hardest thing is what really sounds the simplest is you need to do the follow-up. You have that to be consistent, because no es el que más grita, no es el que más alto grita, es el que más grita. You know, it's not that you're going to shout the loudest, it's your consistent shouting, it's the pebble that we go back to, right? So it's a combination of things. And, you know, at the end of the day, I also give money to elected officials because it's legal. And I want my elected officials to know that whether or not it's $5 or $25 or $100, I believe that you should be elected again. And here's money so you can run your campaign. Everybody gives according to their ability, right? They'll take any amount. But as long as we don't have, you know, we have ability to legally give money to a campaign, I think that you can also consider that, knowing full well that that's never going to be enough. That's almost like me giving you a birthday gift. Yeah, I care. Here, I'm celebrating you. Here's your gift. But that alone is not going to move the needle in what you think of me, how you're going to help me, is it? So it is a combination of things. It is consistency. It is the power of your personal story. It is showing up. And if you are not listened to, we got something great called social media. And you know what? Elected officials care a lot about what gets posted, about what they said or did not say, what they did or did not do, if their staff failed them or not. You know, remember Obamacare as has been built for such a long time? When that was going through Congress, I want you to know that that was such a fundamental shift in the way that we see and process healthcare. And the misinformation and the fear was so pervasive on all sides, the ones who wanted it and the ones who didn't want it, that they locked down the phone system in Congress. So I used to work in Congress at the time. And I remember my boss coming hysterical, going through the door, like, because he couldn't get through even to call his own office and say, hey, come meet me. I had to change a meeting, blah, blah, blah. Because you locked down the place. People were calling every minute. So when you have thousands of people, that's an extreme example, making a point, the point is made. But you cannot make a point if all you do is just react once a year or once a month.
So, Janice, yeah. When you do reach out that first time, do you think that it's better to go in? I mean, I hear you in the sense that let's not just, you know, in the spirit of the moment, say, hey, let's call and go, but have a strategy, right? You know, a little short-term, mid-term, and long-term run strategy about how we're going to do this with the consistency that's needed. But one question on form and format, is it good to have a legal entity formed the way that you've created the Boricua Activated as you're having these initial conversations, or do you think that can come later? Are we okay if we are truly passionate about, for example, something that we deal on a regular basis? We're all about preventing people from losing their legs to diabetes and to, you know, peripheral arterial disease. And a lot of the communities that we deal with are communities that have limited access to care, like Hispanics and Blacks, specifically in Houston, where I'm at. And so I've wanted to bring that fight somehow. But do I need a structure institution like the one you're running? Or do you think I could start smaller, just with 2-3 guys that are trying their best to get the message across with some sort of plan? Like, what's your strategy there?
You don't need a structure right away. You eventually going to need a structure because you eventually going to need help. and you're going to want to take donations if people are willing to give you money so that you can help more people. But if it's, you already have the components, if, as you said, you care about people and these amputations that could be avoided and how we can get better at making sure you don't get to that point. So that means that you already have everything you need, except the organization that could eventually take it all the way, right? You got the problem identified. You have identified a possible solution or two. And you have those personal stories about those people who have lost their limbs, who are basically are going to use the power of your personal story. Much like the reentry person who fell through the cracks and served more time unfairly than they should have, because it could have been just community service. That person shouldn't have lost that organ, that limb, that shouldn't have happened. And why did it happen? Was it a lack of healthcare? They have the personal story, the power of the personal story. So you have that. And that's pretty powerful. Whenever your health has been impacted and you pay that ultimate price of losing part of your health to that extreme, that's, I don't see anything more powerful than that as the power of your personal story. So to answer your question is no. What you don't need the organization, the status C3 or C4. It's nice to have if you're going to professionalize it. But at any rate, you're going to have to be a true professional when you're running it, whether or not it's under the umbrella of an organization that is recognized by the IRS as a C3 or C4, or whether or not it's, you know, the club in the corner that we meet every Wednesday at Starbucks to talk about what we're going to do next week. It doesn't matter at the end of the day, because the elected official is going to hear you, is going to listen to you, because they want to know as a constituent, what's this about? Is this going to result in more votes for me? Is this going to make me a better elected official? Is this somebody that I should listen to? And you don't need to have an organization like mine to convey that. But what you can do along the lines when you keep moving is associate yourself with somebody else that is maybe has the structure and that seeks, and that you share the same, you have the synergy and you share the same issues. So maybe it's mothers against drunk driving, because maybe they care about the fact that the accidents are leading to amputations. I'm just making you an example of an organization that exists that you can associate yourself with and be a branch of that organization as you go in to talk to elected official. But at the end of the day, what really makes a difference is your plan of action and the fact that you're executing it and coming back to it. What worked? What didn't work? Another thing you have to also always understand is who is your audience? You could have the best C3, C4. You could have millions of dollars in the bank account. You could have the money and the volunteers that you need to become a powerhouse and change what you want to change in the things you care about. But if you don't know who you're talking to, the respect, mira, is going to go out the door like this, because they're going to say, wow, these two doctors don't know that I'm a doctor and that I care about this too. Why are they trying to convince me? That's the due diligence. As if I tell the people who come to our events, you care about healthcare? Okay. Who is the congressman? Congressman X and Y. What's their background? What committees do they sit in? Oh, they had a wife. They lost to breast cancer. If breast cancer is your thing, you already have something in common. You both care. So you need to figure out who is your audience, and you cannot walk in there without instruments, they say, because you're going to crash like JFK Jr. You have got to know, who is this person? Who is this congressman? What committees of jurisdiction does he have? Does he sit in the committees of jurisdiction that impact healthcare and the fact that we need more resources for X, Y, and Z? You need to, that's what I mean by doing your due diligence, because then you kind of come across like an idiot. You come across uninformed. It's like, you know, all that information is public. Elected officials is the best thing, right? Because all their information is out there, who they're married to, they've been divorced, how many children, what's their background, did they do time, are they in the military? If you care about veterans, did that guy go fight or that woman go fight? Well, that's a veteran. So You can walk in there and then have the staff or the congressman tell you, but you know, I'm a doctor, right? And you go, oh, I didn't know. Oh, that's a no-no. So, you know, you got to go in there. It, like, again, the dating example really, really works because of any age, especially the younger you are, if you like that person, you try to find out everything about them. You really do, because you want to impress them. You don't want to go in there and not know anything. You want to know where they're from, blah, blah, blah. They're straight or they're gay. You want to know. You want to know things. It's exactly the same. You want something from them. You have to be prepared to know who they are. Don't go in blind. I think a lot of people make that mistake. And I see it all the time. You know, you say, oh, we're going to go talk to blah, blah, blah. And you go, you know, he's a surgeon, right? And they go, he is, but he's an elected official. I said, yeah, because one does not deny the other. There's doctors who want to be in government and want to govern and basically do that all the time. So don't assume you know anything and everything. And please go prepared. You know your story. You already know your issues. Do your due diligence on who you're going to go talk to and start the local level. You don't need to be writing to the president of the United States about your problem. No, you're going to write to your councilman, to your assemblyman, to your state senator, and you're going to identify your allies. Because you know what? There's something called fear of missing out. And if the elected official thinks this is an issue that can gain them, no, I don't want to say power, but good graces.
Notoriety.
With their community and their constituents. Yeah. They're going to want to talk to you. You're going to become an ally, even if you don't give them any money. You're making them look good.
Yeah, Janice, who do they care about as far as like on their day-to-day life work? Because it's, again, the cynic in me thinks it's not the voter except those last 3 months before the election. I think those last 3 months or 6 months, yeah, they care about the voter. During their day-to-day work, who do they care about which you have to influence? I guess that's a question.
They care about the voter that is in their face.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting that they also care about the people writing the checks to them. Of course, I'm not. that's a fact. But a lot of people who write the checks sometimes only show up every so often. I remember when I was chief of staff for Luis Gutierrez, we have this writer. I'm going to go by the name Carl. I think that was his name. And Carl obviously wasn't doing well. Carl would send us faxes and letters that he was going to do this and that. You know, it's almost like the Unabomber kind of guy. He was out there and he had all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories and he was working on this and we didn't answer his letter. He was going to come and bomb the office. You know, that's an extreme example. But I had him. I basically would write back to him. It's like, I don't want you mad. So how can we help you within what's reasonable? Yeah. What is it that this office can do to help you? Because I don't want you showing up here with a knife.
I can see you writing anger letters, Miguel.
You don't have to go to that extreme. But the point is that if one person caught my attention with his threats, more than one person can catch the attention of the staffer saying, you know what? In your case, both of you, you have going for you that you have professions that make it difficult for them to ignore you. But the same could be said about the PTA founder or that teacher who shows up and says, I'm here representing my fifth grade because this is what's affecting my fifth grade. There are certain people, which is all of them have in common that they're voters, that the member cannot rightfully ignore. And you know, if you get ignored, you put a few things in social media and then you get a lot more respect a lot faster because then they're scared of the reputation and the star system of what's going to happen to them. Because at the end of the day, listen, I know that, Lucas, you're cynical and maybe the politicians are in because of the power and the money. That's not really there unless you're corrupt. But at the end of the day, I know that there is something called public service that many people do believe in. I believed in it for 25 years. I could have chosen another career. I made a lot of money when all my other friends was making money in the private sector, but I did like the ability to use the systems as they exist to help that person that I could actually assist with just one phone call. And a good example is a veteran or somebody who basically lived on the Social Security check. And the Social Security check had not come for 3 months and they were desperate. And they're calling the congressman's office because another thing is you got to understand what is the office able to do for you? A lot of constituents don't understand the services that a congressman can do for you. Do you want a flag flown over the Capitol with a certificate because your grandfather's going to be 100 and they'll make him happy? That's a service that they can do for you. Is your son going to an academy, like the Air Force Academy, and you want a letter of recommendation? You want to be the help got to guide it through that? That's something that they can do. Is your Social Security check lost? Or can your grandfather not get his veterans benefits because X, Y, and Z? That's a service that the congressman can do for you, all of course free. So understanding what is within their ability to help you, I think is also part of the system. You have to understand and educate yourself. And I think that we are cynical. All of us have, especially now, have a certain amount of cynicism, but I think we are also becoming a little bit, there's a cognitive laziness that I think is embedded in all the systems, as it's so easy to say, hey Siri, blah, blah, blah. And they respond and then you have it in your brain for 5 minutes and then you move on and you forgot. And I think that with technology, what we're doing is there's so much information available that you're getting lazy. We're all getting lazier about learning new stuff and finding things that we should already have ingrained in our brain, which in my case is, what do elected officials do and what can they do to help me? And how can I push those levers? I think that it's really the ABCs of civic engagement. And it's so simple. It just requires time and consistency. And happy to guide you guys.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
This is great. It seems, here's the one thing that I'll ask. It seems like it'd also be very taxing. You're saying consistency, you're saying involvement, you're saying passion. And here's me, let me steel man the opposite of and call myself on my own bullshit and say, I'm here pouring myself out for my patients and all of these things. But the moment you say, man, you got to get involved, you got to get social media, you got to get time for the meetings, you got to go and talk to these guys, you got to go and do this, you got to go and do that, you got to do an interview, you got to do that. All of a sudden, I start being like, man, that seems like a lot of work just to push this one little thing that I thought was important. And time for my family and time for my work. And all of a sudden, my cost starts kind of becoming bullshit.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you a question. Do you work out?
I don't.
Do you work out?
Were you expecting I was going to say yes?
I do, yeah.
How often do you, how often do you work out?
At least 4 times a week, yeah.
So I'm sure there's got to be something the other good doctor does on a daily or weekly basis. That's the way I, for example, the workout. I work out too. And I look at it like it's a meeting. I put it in my agenda like it's a meeting. And I put that meeting so that anybody looking at my agenda doesn't know that I'm actually working out, because I don't want to be taken lightly. But the mindset that I need to have, you understand the mindset that you need to have. You know the way your brain processes information. For me to get through that workout or that yoga class or things that some people may consider trivial, in my case, I consider it fundamentally important for my health, right? Because I'm surrounded by stressful situations and I know the workout and the release of those endorphins makes me a better human. But I got to see it like it's an important meeting, like it's a doctor's appointment. So the same thing with this. You don't need to be overwhelmed by everything I'm throwing at you. You don't need to do all this. All you need to do is to start, and to start small. Get that meeting, go in there, and I can help you. We can talk offline later. I can help you get your roadmap figured out. Mm-hmm. Get that meeting, and then you know what? You put it in the schedule, the way that I listen to my Calm app. Maybe it's not every day. Maybe it's not even every week. But you put in your schedule, okay, so I spoke to this person November 1st. I'm going to circle back November 15th. It could be something you do twice a month. And that's how you start it. But you know what? If there's a reaction from the other side, that's when it goes to the next level. And that's when it gets exciting. If there's a reaction on the other side and the other side says, you know what? There's a meeting going on and we're going to have a resolution and we want to kick this upstairs. Could you help us draft some language to make this possible so that we get some funds and we get the, you know, a campaign, whatever the offer is, that's going to get you excited because you can see, wow, this worked. Now I actually got to get, you know, get this thing. They asked me to help them because they're not doctors. So it is almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Once you start it, somebody, it's like Boricua Activated. I really didn't expect anybody to even write me one check. I didn't expect anybody to show up. When
how much has Lucas donated? It's important to go online here and say, how much has Lucas donated to Boricua Activated?
Nothing.
Lucas donated. Yes. It's time today to talk about
there
me.
You go.
Well, I'll take that to the bank.
Well, he told me before the show that as soon as we finish, he was going to write a fat check. So there you go.
Good. I'll be looking
good,
for that.
Exactly. See, Lucas, yeah. I'm here for you.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, it's a tax write-off, brother.
Yeah.
It is 100%.
Right? Thank you. I wasn't being callous about it. I was just saying it's important that, you know, we in this show we've talked about so many things like brand recognition, brand paging, you know, but whatever that is you do, is if you really have that passion and that drive, be it personal, self-fulfilling, or for somebody else's, it still requires time and effort and some degree of discipline, right? Yeah. You know, you can't half-ass anything.
But it's
life.
Also starting.
But it's also strategy, right?
But it's also just doing the thing.
Start.
It's like, don't talk about the thing. Like, talking about the thing is not doing the thing. Like David said, you know, emailing about the thing is not doing the thing. Do the thing.
Do that.
Do it. Try it.
Do it. Do it.
That's it.
You know the African proverb, right?
No, I don't know the African proverb. What's the African proverb?
If you want to go fast,
go
alone. If you want to go far, go with others.
That's an African proverb. I didn't know that.
That's a continent that gets acclaimed. You know what? I couldn't be. I've done the work that I did with Boricua Activated, even at the beginning, without the support of a community, without the support of activists, which I've never been an activist, but support of teachers who helped me how to teach, with the support, you know, we live in a society, you know, no man's an island, right? You have got to identify your tribe. And, you know, in my case, I've identified the tribe of committed individuals who care about change in our communities. In California, we're in the Valley, we're in Northern Philadelphia, we're here in Arlington, Virginia. You find your community and it makes you stronger. The two of you can start, but I'm sure you have a community of people out there who are interested in doing what you're doing. And all you have to do is just, you know, get a group of five together, deputize somebody to remind everybody else to send an email, show up at the meeting, prepare yourselves, get it started. You'll be surprised of how much, you know, when you love what to do, time is really on your side. So if you love what you're doing for the patients and the community, it's just a matter of tweaking and getting your strategy out there and adding it to your list of things to do. But I can guarantee you, somebody's been doing it for 7 years. I don't make a penny out of Boricua Activated. Everybody else does get paid. But as a founder, I don't think that it looks good for me to claim even a penny of it. But even the intern gets paid. Why? Because I don't believe in free labor. But I get paid more than anybody else because I sleep so well at night, knowing that we just came back from my event. This was so great. Oh my God, and now we're going to do this. It keeps you going. And when you see the smile on those people's faces and the thank you, oh my God, I didn't think I could do it. This is, to me, that's enough. And maybe it shows that I'm an activist and I didn't know. So, you know, guys, you will discover things about you that perhaps you didn't even know. the where inside of you. I really, if you talk about friends who've known me for 40 years, you never have predicted that it would be someone like me doing this kind of work. But you know what? It's been that gift. Hurricane Maria gifted me the discovery that I like the idea of changing a community, trying to change one person, one community at a time, by teaching them the very basic practices of civic engagement, which is what we do, which is what we're talking about. You're going to civically engage yourself, but trying to change the system. And you could do that. Some people do that by just showing up to vote. That's fine. That's civic engagement. I think that's a little light. It's almost like you're electing that official. So you're giving that official the keys to the car, and then you're disappearing. Did they know how to drive the car? Did they crash? Did they kill somebody with the car you gifted them? It's a big deal. It's a big freaking deal to be an elected official. And we will be idiots if we're going to vote for that elected official, celebrate that they got elected, and then look away until the next election. That's the most irresponsible act that anyone living in any kind of democracy could do. And you know what? Voting is a big deal. In many countries, it's not even allowed. Or you even maybe get killed if you try to show up at the voting pool and then try to put in, you know, vote for your candidate and not Putin, for example, who happens to win every election for the last, 30 years? So, you know, I think in our democracy, it's important to understand that it is a privilege to live in a democracy such as ours. And if you don't protect it and really utilize it, and if you only show up every 2 years for your local elected office or every 4 years for the presidential, you're really wasting your tax dollars. You really are, because we're paying for their salary. And if they don't know, many elected officials tell me when they come to our events, they go, thank you. I didn't know that this was an issue. Really? If they're lying or not, I don't know. But I appreciate that they're telling me. And the same thing could be, you know, I think you guys are going to go through a journey with this if you start doing it and find out that perhaps, you know what, wow, we started it. Now, look, we got all these meetings that we're even presenting, and maybe we're even working on legislation. And that's what it's about. It's about leaving this place a lot better than you found it, outside of Burning Man.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to end the yeah, political activism and Burning Man. That's the title of this show. But Janice, thank you so much for the time. This was like really illuminating and giving a little, you know, a little insight into the obscure process of your world, which is super interesting.
Happy to help. Call me anytime. I get you guys organized. I drive you crazy. Yeah. I'll make sure that you know who to meet with. I'll jumpstart the process so that the good doctors can actually
There's any interested vascular surgeon, interventional cardiologist, interventional radiologist, or in general, anybody in the healthcare space that wants to contact you, where can they contact you?
Oh, me? You can contact me through, my email is very easy. It's my name, JaniceFuentes@gmail.com. And I think to make it easy, you could just put Life of Flow on the subject. And that way I'll know that it has to do with this. But the two of you should contact me so I can help you with your advocacy.
I was about to say, I hope that they don't have to, for all of you out there listening in your vehicles, waiting for a case, driving home, I hope that you don't have to do this on your own. I hope that Lucas and I feel the weight and the responsibility enough to push this somehow forward. We have been blessed with the opportunity of meeting so many amazing people on our path, and certainly Janice doesn't fall short from that. And I think that we owe it if we're gonna back up a lot of the words that we say here, Lucas, I think that we cannot not act. You know, I think that we need to take this to a next level. I think if we're passionate about peripheral arterial disease, the state of our fellow humans, and the notion that there could be a better tomorrow, exerting change at any level is important. And I think that we have a responsibility to do so.
Yeah,
so,
I'm going to start a petition to boycott string cheese from all HEBs.
Mira, use me as a resource.
Yeah, I'm going to use it as a resource. Jenny's, that's going to be our look. Miguel is going to be the...
No, use me as a resource. Happy. This is simple. Do not be intimidated by this, everything that described. It's so simple, it hurts. I'm telling you, it's simple. It will not take that much time. It's simple. You guys got this. Anybody right, listening, Jenny's, you got this.
And come visit us in Austin, Janice.
Oh, I'm coming.
Houston. Houston.
No. Where are you right now? Houston or Austin?
We're Austin. Recording in Austin. We're at the Barton Creek during the Texas Society of Vascular Surgery. And then we kind of record when we're together. But we really want to welcome you in Houston. That's where our base of operations are. Nobody cares about the hippie city of Austin. And we'll send our plane to pick you up and our driver to pick you up. And
well, the plane is bringing the check to Boricua Activated.
I know. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yeah,
man.
It's so fat.
And we're
going to
make
plane.
A big check, those like 2x3 feet checks.
The lottery checks.
Back in the day.
It's going to be $5.
And then it's going to be Lucas twirling up in the air. Anyway, Jenny, thank you very, very much. You have a blessed weekend. We'll be in touch. Y pura vida.
Aquí a las 12. Bye.